In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O Lady Guadalupe, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Ignatius, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Can you hear me well? I've learned something as a public speaker that you could have the best talk in the world, but if the microphone doesn't work, it's not worth a hill of beans, huh? Because there was a priest that started Mass, and he had problems with the microphone, so he started out the Mass saying, "There's something wrong with the microphone," and the people said, "And also with you." Maybe heard the story of the little girl who was with her mother. The mother was in the bathroom, and the mother was combing her hair, and the little girl said, "Mommy, I notice you have gray hair. You have gray hair that's popping out of your head." And the little girl said, "Mommy, why do you have those white hairs that are popping up?" And the mom said, "Every time you behave bad, then a white hair pops out of my head." The little girl was thinking, she said, "Well, Mommy, why does Grandma have all white hair?" Before my father passed away, about 4 years ago, I was on the phone. It was June 24th, and I was talking with my mom, and I said, "Mom, what do you celebrate in 2 days?" She said, "Well, our 58th anniversary." Then my dad came later on the phone and said, "Dad, you know what happened 58 years ago in 2 days? He said, "Yeah, I bought my first car." Okay, little bit of humor is good for us, right? I have a degree in English Lit, Philosophy, Theology, and Jokeology. That's a good degree, isn't it? Okay, my talk could extend a long time, but with the limited time I have at my disposition, I'm going to be talking about St. Ignatius and the spiritual exercises. So about 500 years ago, there was a soldier who lived a very mundane life. I could even say a sinful life. His name was Inigo. Today we call him St. Ignatius. So according to some writers, they say that he broke all of the commandments. And possibly even like Augustine had an illegitimate child. That hasn't been proven yet, but he lived a pretty wild life. But something happened. He was a soldier, and he was in the Battle of Pamplona in Spain. And there was a cannonball that was shot at the stronghold, and it went through the wall, and it shattered both of the legs of this soldier. So there he was laying there half dead, and the French, who admired him so much, pulled him off the battlefield and brought him to safety. Then he was taken back to his home in Loyola, and the process of conversion was slow. So much so that they had to break his leg without anesthesia, then break it again, then we have any nurses here, there was a protrusion, which means a bone was jutting out of his leg near his knee. And due to vanity, he said to them, saw it off. Imagine you got 2 inches of bone protruding from your knee, and you have a doctor come without anesthesia, sawing it off. His brother, hearing this, almost fainted. But they sawed it off, and he just went like this. Didn't even open up his mouth. Can you imagine that? Just thinking of that makes us want to faint. But we see in this man real strength, real physical fortitude. But what happened was he went through a conversion. How did the conversion come about? Through a providential accident. Now, in English, that seems to be a paradoxical phrase, a providential accident. What the heck does that mean in English? That divine providence entered into his life and allowed that accident. And by means of that accident, if you know English well, accident has 2 interpretations, right? The accident would be the shot. An accident seems to be something that happens by chance. But we don't believe in chance as Catholics. You want to get me angry? Say, good luck, Father, okay? Say, I don't believe in luck. I don't believe in luck. Actually, I believe that that's against the first commandment, because you believe more in chance events than in the intervention of our providential loving Father. So God allowed that to happen. And as he's recovering, now among the Filipino population, we have a lot of nurses and nurse practitioners and doctors, which is a beautiful profession, because by doing that you're actually serving Christ in the people that you serve. So try to supernaturalize your intention. You know, you fill your wallet with good bucks maybe, but above and beyond the money you're making, you have to see this as an apostolate. So Ignatius was going through a long process of convalescence, and he had a lot of free time. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, not to insult your intelligence, but to give you the historic context. How many of you know how to read here? Okay, I knew how to read when I was 7. How many people knew how to read 500 years ago? Very few. Number one is because the printing press was recent. Number two is that books were very expensive, not like my books. Go after work, after buy one of my books, okay? Only $15. No, and buy 10 of them, okay? But books were rare. They were very expensive. And what type of society existed 500 years ago? If you know history, it was called an agrarian society. In other words, the urbus, which means the city, basically didn't exist. So people worked on a farm and had 15 kids. Hopefully you'll have 15, at least 10. You heard my homily, okay? They didn't have to read. They didn't need to read because they just had to know how to milk cows and gather grapes. So reading, basically the most educated people back then were the monks, the priests, the Benedictines, the Augustinians, the Dominicans. Those were the most highly educated people back in the Middle Ages, in the late Middle Ages. But Ignatius knew how to read. So he wanted to read the chivalrous tales of the Middle Ages, the knights in shining armor going after the beautiful damsel. No, that was his. It would be today the Las Telenovelas, if you speak Spanish, okay? The pulp literature. But they didn't give him that. Guess what they gave him? The Lives of the Saints. That's the last thing he wanted to read. That's the last thing he wanted to read. The Lives of the Saints. But That's what they gave him. And they started reading the lives of the saints. And he was captivated. He was captivated. It was like a magnet. He started to read, and he was just fascinated by these spiritual heroes that we call the saints. And this is what he said: if Dominic can do it, so can I. If Francis can do it, so can I. If the Desert Fathers fasted, I'll fast more than them. If the Desert Fathers had long hair, I'll be a hippie that will go beyond them. Okay? So he wanted to imitate the saints, but he was an idealist, a romanticist, as they say in English literature, and they wanted to go beyond him. So that was his first conversion. Now, in our lives, we have to go through conversion until we die. The word in Greek is metanoia. Metanoia means a transformation of mind, of heart, and life. So after he was healed, mostly healed, through reading the lives of the saints, and as he read the lives of the saints and was praying and meditating, one other thing happened, and it's this. He noticed that when he would think about the chivalrous tales of the knights in shining armor, and he imagined himself one day being that knight in shining armor and approaching the Queen of Spain and asking if she could marry him so he could be Mr. Famous. No? That was his desire. Vanity was his big sin. He wanted to be famous. He wanted to be number one. He wanted to be numero uno. He wanted to be, as we say in New York, the big banana, the big man on campus. Okay, he wanted to be famous, huh? So his desire was to be able to one day marry the Queen of Spain so he'd be the most famous man in the world, huh? So when he thought about that, there was a lot of pleasure in the upper surface of his emotions. But then he felt sad and depressed and discouraged, and just life didn't seem to be a blah, a drag. But then what happened was, when he read the lives of the saints, what happened in him was he experienced within his emotions and deep in his soul, he experienced peace and joy and happiness. So that's one thing that Ignatius left us, is what's called the art of spiritual discernment. The art of knowing how to discern between good and bad. The art of discerning between what brings us true happiness and what brings us sadness. And you know, Aquinas says this as well as Ignatius, all of us want to be happy. All of us want to be happy. Why do you meet? How many of you work? Alicia, fake it. Okay, you work, okay? How many of you work? Okay, so after these conferences, you're going to go back to work, and everybody in your workplace is so happy, right? Right? On the contrary, they're sad, they're depressed, they're disgruntled, they're bitter, they're sarcastic, they're backbiters, right? They're chismosos, as they say in Spanish, right? So that's probably your work environment. Why? Because they want to be happy, but they're looking for happiness in the wrong place. I repeat, they want to be happy, but they're looking for happiness in the wrong place. Now, I'm going to give you a basic principle of Ignatius, then I'll explain what God gave to him. This is universal. Have any of you ever heard the word desolation? Maybe you've done the exercise with me, okay? Definition of desolation? Okay. You feel sad. You feel depressed. You feel discouraged. You feel life has no meaning. Have any of you ever gone through desolation? If you don't raise your hand, you're a liar. Because everybody goes through desolation. Even Jesus went through desolation in the Garden of Gethsemane. A profound desolation. Now, to go through desolation is part of being human. Now, what do we do in desolation? This is huge. This is huge. Either we seek creature comfort, which often is sin, or we turn to God. Almost everybody seeks creature comfort because desolation is painful. And to sit with our pain is tough. One of our priests in the Philippines, Father Greg, said something about it. We have to sit with our pain. Hard. You got a sick person sitting with the pain? No. Give me morphine. Sitting with the pain? It's tough. Very hard. So Ignatius teaches us this. Say you're in desolation. You got the very narrow path. You got the wide path. Now the narrow path is this. Okay, I'm in desolation. Okay, I'm a creature comfort. Maybe drinking a little bit. And obviously, number one is pornography. Pornography and masturbation, that's number one. And we have to admit that. I'm not scandalizing anyone because I'm not talking with kindergarten kids. You're adults. You know that. Or premarital sex. Or some are from Houston, some are from Arizona, some are from another state. Here in California, it's sad to say, they legalized marijuana. What, about a year and a half ago? So, seeking refuge in sex, in pornography, in drinking, in drugs, in illicit affairs. Now, this is very Ignatian. Because we all have desolation. The Pope Francis goes through desolation. Saint Ignatius, later on in his life, after his conversion, when he was in the cave in Manresa, his desolation was so powerful that he thought, I'm going to commit suicide. This is Saint Ignatius. St. Catherine of Siena was praying in front of the Blessed Sacrament and had pornographic images. St. Catherine of Siena? St. Margaret Mary also. So, when you're in desolation, the wide path is to seek out creature comfort. Now, the creature comfort, what's going to happen? You get a momentary high. Sex, drugs, drinking, pleasure, overeating. It can be a million things. Huh? Momentary. We say ephemeral or transitory pleasure. But there's a cliche that I like to utilize now. What goes up has to go down. It's called the law of spiritual gravity. What goes up goes down. You know, you crash. So you started with desolation. You gave in to your lower instincts rather than your spiritual nature, and you crashed. So that you plunged plunged even deeper into the quagmire of your own sinfulness. Now, What does Ignatius teach us? When you're in desolation, you sit down there and you say, I am in desolation. When you're in desolation, you're going to be tempted. I repeat, when you're in desolation, that's when the devil tempts all the 7 billion people that live on planet Earth. There's no one that's free from temptation. Part of the spiritual life is we're all in battle. We're all in combat until we die. So I've painted to you what most people do when they're in desolation. They give in to their lower passions. They give in to their animal nature, because we have a composite nature. We have both the animal nature, our body, then we have the spiritual nature, our soul. Okay, what does Ignatius teach us that we have to do when we're in desolation? Recognize it. Claim it and tame it, if you like. Okay? Recognize it. Then you have to do the agite contra. You've got to do the exact opposite. You recognize it, then you got to pray. You have to pray. And I hope and I pray that this weekend, at least, you will leave with three basic ideas. You have to pray. You look at your life. Look at your sins. Desolation, lack of prayer, you fall into sin. Right? Yes, Father. That's universal. Your desolation, you don't pray, the temptation becomes overpowering and you capitulate. Oh, you give in. Everyone on planet Earth, desolation, I can't put up with this. Given the creature comfort, you fall. And then the devil accuses you. It's interesting. The devil says, I'll just do it. Then afterward, he points his finger and he accuses you. Look at you, you did it again. Basura, you know, you're trash. And the devil wants you to give into despair, like Judas. Huh? That's the work of the devil. Desolation, we all go through it. Temptation, give in, despair. Ignatius says you're tempted, you got to pray. And pray. And pray. Then temptation is strong, but God is stronger than our temptation. And you can study it almost mathematically. No prayer, you fall into sin. You can almost prove it mathematically. No prayer, fall into sin. So Ignatius says you got to pray. The second thing he says is meditation. Now in this time, you have conferences, you have periods of praise and worship, but all of you should find some time. Some of you are going to be spending time in a hotel room because you're from another state. Some time in silence. Ignatius insists we have to have silence. Now, most of you come from the Philippines. Your parents were probably born there. The American society is a lot of things, but the American society is a society somewhat crass, a lot of noise, okay, a lot of materialism. It's very fast-paced. You come from Asia. And these Americans, man, they're crazy. It's a mile a minute. It's work and work and work and work. You end up exhausted. You have to have time for silence. You hear me? And in silence, you can reflect. And you can pray. And you can think about God's presence in your life. But if you never have time to stop and think and pray, you're gonna have a nervous breakdown. You will. And maybe you have friends, maybe you've had a nervous breakdown because it's going and going and going and going and going. In any motor, even your car, in which the motor is spinning fast, what's going to happen? It's going to break down. Even the best machine equipment in this country, if it's going on, going, it's going to wear out. So Ignatius teaches us to slow down. Think. Meditate. Meditate upon God. Meditate upon why are you here? And that's the first principle in the exercises. You have to know why you're here. Most of your friends that are not involved in religion, they have what is called an identity crisis. They don't know who they are. You know who God is. You know who you are. You know where you're heading. You know how to get there. That's Ignatius. That's called principle and foundation. You come from God, who loves you. The purpose of your life is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Amen? You're here to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's why you're here. And then you're here after you die to go to heaven for all eternity. That's the purpose of our existence. We're here a short time. Very short time. Life goes by quickly. And the older you get, the faster time goes. That's proven mathematically. You go from 1 to 2, that's 50% of your life. You go from 60 to 61, if you live to be 80, that's about 2% of your life. That's just pure mathematics. So time goes by quicker. And Augustine says, St. Augustine says, our life in comparison with eternity is a mere blink of the eye. Our life in comparison with eternity is a mere blink of the eye. I've seen a couple of you blink. Okay? You just blinked right now. Okay, our life is a blink of the eye. How quick our life is. Then Ignatius says, to get out of desolation, you have to practice some type of penance. What does penance mean? You got to give up something. You have to say no to yourself. You have to say no to something you like. Jesus said, some devils are cast out only by prayer and fasting. So saying no to ourselves. In little things. And that fortifies us. Gives us willpower. And by saying no to self, we're saying yes to Jesus Christ. What can we do to say no to ourselves? Small things. Remember one occasion, in the morning, I like to have a little bit of coffee with a little bit of honey in it. And I said, okay, I'm not going to put the honey in my coffee. No big deal. But it's hard for me. Small things done with love. Yesterday you're going to laugh at this. Maybe I shouldn't tell you because it's almost embarrassing. It seems to be so stupid. But it's something difficult for me. And I'll tell you. I like one sport and one team. And my team is plummeting. Okay? They were in first place a week ago, but they've lost four in a row. So I decided I would not check out my baseball team's score until 9 o'clock at night. I checked it out, they lost anyway, no? So saying no to oneself is a way to overcome the enemy in our lives. And the fourth thing Ignatius says, overcome desolation, examine your conscience. Maybe you're doing something that is not pleasing to God. Maybe you're committing a sin that's not pleasing to God. So, to overcome the desolation, prayer, meditation, penance, examination. Now, if you do those four things, that's the way that Ignatius gives us to get out of desolation and to return to consolation. You hear that? You hear me?
Yes.
Very important. Very important. Otherwise, we're going to end up a slave to our own passions. We become a slave to our animal nature. There's a story I tell in the exercises of a man walking through the woods with his son. And as they're walking, the father stops and looks at the son in the eyes and says, "You know, son, I've got this wolf within me. A ravenous, vicious, malicious wolf within me that wants to devour me." They're walking another 20 minutes and the son is thinking, "My father's got a wolf with him." And the father stops and looks at his son and says, "I have a gentle lamb within me." They're walking another half hour and the son is thinking, "My father's got a wolf and a lamb." And the son can't put up with it anymore and he grabs the father by the shirt sleeve and says, "Dad, who's going to win?" And the father looks deeply into the eyes of the son and says, "Whichever one I feed most. Whichever one I feed most." If we feed the wolf is going to devour us. If we feed the lamb is going to prevail in us. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The Lamb. Which one is going to win? Whichever one we feed. If we feed the desolation, what's going to happen is the desolation is going to conquer. If we feed the good spirit, which promotes consolation, then the good spirit is going to conquer. Okay, so to make a long story short, Ignatius later on is praying in a cave in Spain called Manresa. When he's praying, he's in profound desolation, then God comes and comforts him. God sends the Blessed Virgin Mary. And she appears to him. And she gives him the spiritual exercises. And you can see a picture of my founder, Father Venerable Father Lantier, looking into the cave. And Ignatius is there with a pen, and he's writing in a book, and the Blessed Mother is there, and she's dictating to Ignatius the spiritual exercises. The spiritual exercises, Saint Ignatius. My charism as an oblate is to promote devotion to Mary. That's why I've got my book on the 15 Mysteries of the Rosary. Holiness, my first book, From Humdrum to Holiness. But also, our charism is promoting Ignatian spirituality, especially Ignatian retreats. A week ago, I finished giving an 8-day retreat to 75 people in Alhambra. People live in California know where Alhambra is. Finished giving an 8-day retreat to 75 people. I've given 30-day retreat. I've given 2-day retreats. However, what I also did about 11 years ago was I wrote another type of retreat. And a retreat is called the Retreat in Daily Life. This retreat is 10 weeks in which those who want to learn how to meditate, we give them 10 different topics so they can go through the Ignatian retreat in 10 weeks, in which they're going to be meditating every day for an hour for 10 weeks. And those who have gone through the exercises with me, some of you are here, will give public testimony to the fact that until the exercises were done, you'll live a spiritual life, but your spiritual life was mediocre. Right? Got several of you here. Your spiritual life was mediocre. It was lukewarm. But once you did the spiritual exercises, in which you learn how to enter into silence, you learn how to examine your conscience, you spent an hour a day for 10 weeks in which you were praying and meditating upon spiritual topics like principle and foundation while you're here, meditating on the triple sin, the sin of the angels, the sin of Adam and Eve, sin of one person that was lost because of a mortal sin. You meditate upon the sin of David. And what is key is this. You ended up by making a general confession of your whole life. Because it could be even here, there might be some of you who have never really made a good confession in your whole life. Because what happens is, sometimes we don't want to confess because of shame. Some sins are very embarrassing. They cause a lot of shame. Consequently, we hold off and we don't confess that sin. And if we don't confess that sin, then we make bad communions. When we make bad communions, then we're receiving the sacraments in a sacrilegious way. And we live perpetually in a state of sadness, in confusion, and no peace. In other words, we're living in a state of perpetual desolation because we have unconfessed sin. If we live with unconfessed sin, then it's God Himself that's going after us. God Himself is allowing us to be in desolation because we got to get rid of those sins. We've got nurses and doctors here. If you have an operation, say for example, breast cancer. You have an operation. The operation takes 5 hours. You're finished the operation. You wake up after anesthesia has worn off. What is the first thing you're going to ask once the anesthesia has worn off? I think you're going to ask, "Doctor, did you get it all? Doctor, did you get all the cancer?" Right? So when you go to confession, you want to make sure that you get it all out. Otherwise, you got spiritual cancer that's growing and growing and growing and growing within us. Because sin is spiritual cancer. If you don't get it out, then it grows to a point where you can't even live with yourself anymore. So, I invite all of you to think about doing the spiritual exercises. Some of you who live far away in another state, it can't be done. But those who live in San Bernardino, those who live in Orange, those who live in Temecula, those who live in even San Diego County, people will travel an hour to be able to do the exercises. So my point is this. If you really have a desire to grow in your spiritual life, it's not going to come about if you don't stop to pray, to reflect, to think, to meditate, to examine your life. It's not going to work unless you have that silent time to pray, to think, to meditate, to examine upon your life. You're going to stagnate. You're never going to grow. So all of you here, young people, you're not called to be mediocre. You know, you can either be a turtle or an eagle. A turtle goes very slowly. An eagle flies high. What do you prefer to be, a turtle or an eagle? I hope all of you are called to fly high. To fly high and to soar to the highest mountain. To the highest mountain. And that really means you're all called not to be small and mediocre, you're all called to become saints. The only way we're going to change this world is when individual people in groups, but individual people decide that they want to become great saints. So the spiritual exercises is a very solid, methodical, proved, systematic spiritual program that forms a lot of saints. So I'm going to pray to the Blessed Virgin Mary and to Saint Joseph and to Saint John the Baptist that all of you will desire to become great saints through the intercession of Mary and through making the spiritual exercises. It's hard work, but it's worth the effort. The athletes say no pain, no gain. If you are not willing to walk the extra mile, to enter into blood, sweat, and tears, to make a concerted effort, you're never going to get off the ground. In other words, you're called to be an eagle, but you end up being a turtle. Let's pray that all of us will choose to become that eagle, to soar and to arrive at the heights of holiness. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So you're going to pray the Hail Holy Queen and invite all of you to really undertake the incredible adventure of trying to arrive at the heights of holiness that all of God wants all of us to be. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen. I'm going to say the Hail Holy Queen, and ask that Mary will be the queen of our minds, our hearts, our souls, and all of our lives. Hail Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry for banished children of thee. Thee do we send up our sighs, mourning and weeping in this valley of tears. Turn then, most gracious advocate, your eyes of mercy towards us. And after this our exile, show unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary, pray for us, O Holy Mother of God. The Lord be with you. Through the intercession of Mary, Saint Joseph, Saint Ignatius, all God's angels and saints, may God bless you with long life, peaceful life, holy life, and eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, God bless you.